from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. Hello.
Top of the morning to you.
So we're already going to get sidetracked off the rip from the jump. So what I would like to actually talk about... I would like to talk about the Sacramento Kings, how people are feeling 2 days after beating Golden State in the number 9-10 play-in matchup. We're still a day out from the Kings matchup with the Pelicans. Our guys, Carlin and Joe,
mm-hmm.
who are on before us here on ESPN 1320, very upset by the scheduling, the fact that there's no game tonight.
Whatever.
I think it's fine. Because the teams that play on Tuesday
mm-hmm.
get one less day. The teams that play on Wednesday get one more day off.
Yep.
Or the teams that play Tuesday get one less day off. So now the teams that played Tuesday get the extra day off here.
Yeah.
Like it's very straightforward.
Yeah. No matter what, there's 2 days off.
Yeah.
It's just whether you got them bookended together or you had them separated.
Right.
And I was telling you,
I don't care that much that there's no basketball today.
Yeah, there was a reason why the schedule broke down this way. Mm-hmm. I believe it was supposed to be the 9-10 games were supposed to be on Tuesday, and then the 8-9 games were the 7-8 games were supposed to be on Wednesday.
Right.
But for some reason, like Philly, well, maybe that doesn't make sense. Philly couldn't play on Tuesday because Philly had. Already had a hockey game scheduled for their arena, and there was no way to get around it, and they became the home team.
Because the Sixers were not anticipating playing in the play-in tournament.
Of course they weren't. No. They thought they would be a 2 seed.
Yeah.
Or maybe a 1.
Maybe a 1.
Maybe a 1. Yeah. And so they messed everything up because of that, and it just like changed the way... I think the Kings would have loved an extra day beforehand. But then again, you get a travel day. Like the Kings are practicing today.
They didn't need one.
Yeah, the Kings are practicing today at 10:30. Like, yeah, and then they're flying out.
As you say, they're going to fly today, yeah.
Yeah, they have to fly today because the game's tomorrow. You're not allowed by NBA rules to fly on game day.
No, I know, but I thought they might have gone
yesterday. Oh, no. They're in Sacramento still.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah, sleep in your own bed.
Yeah.
Don't get in trouble in New Orleans.
We'll talk about the play-in tournament, the Bulls and Hawks, and the 76ers and Heat. The Bulls knocked out the Hawks last night, 131-116 in the 9-10 game. Philadelphia just snuck by the Heat. Boy, that was a very, very tight game. I don't know if it was a good game, but it was definitely close. 105-104 was the final there. We'll dive into those a little bit later, but I want to know how Kings fans are feeling. Day after, because I think there's two types of fan. I think there's fan that when their team wins a big playoff game, I'm just going to, for the sake of this conversation, I'm going to call it a playoff game, wins a big playoff game, and there's a fan that just rides the lightning. And they're like, we're never going to lose again. I'm going to, we're never going to die.
We made it, Mom.
I'm going to feel this way forever. And then there's fan, this is where I land, where team wins big playoff game, and there's the elation of like, yes, hell yes, big time win. I'm going to watch highlights that night. I'm fired up. And then you wake up the next day and you're like, God, there's another one. Oh, no. Like, and the stress just, it goes from elate. I have two modes as a sports fan, elated and stressed to the point that it's like, I need to see a doctor. Okay. Those are my two modes.
Okay, so your two modes are that. So how are you feeling after watching the Warriors?
Nah, indifference.
Okay.
But that's a separate thing. I didn't have any expectations for the Warriors.
Okay.
I had last year was it. Last year was, hey, they won a title in 22. Hey, maybe they put it together. It was very clear sometime in game four of that Lakers series. It's like, oh, they just don't have it. Oh, this is just done now.
Mm-hmm.
So they lose to the Lakers in six. That sucked. That was not a fun time. So they lose to the Lakers in six. And then going into this year, they ostensibly ran it back. I'm sorry, Chris Paul was not moving the needle for me. So they effectively ran it back, and you're going, okay, this is what it is.
Yeah.
They're just not. So I don't care. I'm past that. I'll worry about them later.
Yeah, yeah.
But with the Kings, I think you would be totally fair to be like, dude, knocked off Golden State. I don't even care about the Pelicans right now. I'm fine. I will worry about that at tip off. But I also think that given the Kings' record against the Pelicans this year and how badly they've struggled against New Orleans this year and how important it is, just big picture, that the Kings make the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
I also think you would be perfectly in your right as a Kings fan to go like, all right, that was fun, but hey, there's a bigger hill to climb here.
Yeah, I'm not sure how people should walk into this game on Friday. Like, again, I've said this a multitude of times. I have no idea whether they're going to win or lose. I think, you know, on paper, a team that you're 0-5 against in one season that hasn't just beat you, but they've, like, drubbed you most of the time,
mm-hmm.
they lose a couple of players, and, okay, maybe they'll be fine. We have no idea what the Pelicans are going to look like tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it doesn't seem to have mattered. Like, they played a game without Zion and beat the Kings by 33.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look at it, this is almost like, I don't like using this term because, you know, it's almost like found money, right? Like, an extra game is like, okay, you didn't really expect, you had no expectations. I don't want to say you didn't expect, but you shouldn't have had expectations of who the Kings were going to be in the postseason because they haven't been able to give you anything to build off something. Right. Do mm-hmm. I think that they're one of the top eight teams in the Western Conference? I absolutely do. Do I think they're a better team than the Lakers? I absolutely think mm-hmm. they're a better team than the Lakers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think they're better than the Warriors? They're better than the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
They might even be better than the Suns. But at the end of the day, maybe it's a coin flip. They might even be better than Dallas. I mean, Dallas is playing well right now, but they might be.
Sure.
But the fact is that they didn't prove that they could be that consistent team that mm-hmm. showed you that this is their path forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have no idea what to expect on Friday. And I wouldn't be totally surprised if on Sunday afternoon we're watching Kings and Oklahoma City Thunder in the first round of the playoffs. And everybody's like, I can't believe they made it. This is so wild and crazy. And what is mm-hmm. happening?
Yeah.
And I'm kind of here for it. I'm kind of here for like the, after covering so many years of it's over in on January like 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and not even worrying about what's going to happen. The last 30 games is how many games can you lose so you can get a better draft position? To be in this position where all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this team could actually make some noise. Mm-hmm. And if they get into a first round series with OKC, maybe Malik Monk makes it back for game three or four.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they got a shot. I mean, this is a team that they beat the first two games of the season. Barely lost the third one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a game they match up against.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, who knows? And that's where I think Kings fans should kind of just, like, have an open mind about what can be and don't stress about it. If they lose, this is kind of what you expected 2 weeks ago or a week ago.
Yeah.
So
916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That is the Farmer's Dog Talk line. A healthy life starts with healthy food. Hit us up. Phone line's open. I have them unblocked right now. I learned how to do the unblocking the phones on the board.
Oh.
So I don't have to run into the other studio to do it now. So the phone lines are open if you want to tap in. 916-909-1320. Again, the way the phones work on this show is you call and it rings until I answer it. I can't put you on hold. So if it's just ringing and ringing, hang in there and we'll get to you. We're giving away $500 again today.
Ooh.
We'll announce a winner from yesterday's Nothing But Net $500 giveaway. We got that coming up. We got Greg Doyle being
weird.
We'll dive into that. We got NBA play-in stuff to get to. We've got so much coming up in today's show. But as far as the Kings go, coming up tomorrow in this game against New Orleans, I think there's going to be two different levels of happiness. Because I think the happiness of beating the Warriors was not this like, well, some people went, hey, this is just a dragon that just cannot be slayed.
Yep.
And there's that sting of, Keegan Murray even said after the game, like, that sting of game seven is never going to go away. I guess it's going to be there. But it's like, dude, for fans, you finally got to like double birds their fans as they're the ones streaming to the exits down 20 in the
fourth. That's right.
And they've been in your building and they've been loud and they've been obnoxious for a decade now. And you got to, now you were on top. The rabbit's got the gun kind of thing, right? And I think that's where a lot of the joy came from. And of course, winning and moving on, for sure. But I think that fan, like, oh, yeah! Whereas if they go beat New Orleans, that's when I think you'll see what you were just talking about. That's where I think a lot of people, and again, everybody's different. Fans aren't a monolith. But I think that's where you'll see people like, oh, we just beat this team we couldn't beat all year.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the team we couldn't beat last year. This is a team we couldn't beat at all this year. We just beat them, and now we're in the playoffs. Now things can get real.
Yeah.
And that's where, so I'm man, I need a win on Friday.
Kyle, I think there was a certain amount of joy for Kings fans, like knowing that it was you who put the final nail in the coffin. Of a great dynasty.
Exactly.
It was like, hey, look, we did that. That's over now.
Yeah.
And realistically, the Kings, like they did it last year. The 7-game series wiped out the Warriors.
Stop.
I'm just saying.
Stop. Do not take away. No, because you're trying to take away from something that's this year.
Well, yeah, okay.
The Lakers were just better than Golden State last year. Golden State didn't have any answers for Anthony Davis or LeBron James, and then D'Angelo Russell got hot, and then Lonnie Walker had a huge fourth quarter in one of the games.
Yeah.
Like that. This was it.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is that that series was brutal and wiped out the Warriors. I don't know that the Warriors had the legs left after a 7-game series that was brutal.
Sure.
Where you had guys getting suspended and like near fights and
sure.
Yeah. So no, I mean like this is good. But I also would like to see them figure out how to beat the Pelicans because I don't think the Pelicans are just way better than them. It's just a weird matchup, and for some reason they haven't been able to like.
Yeah, they're in the same tier as the Pelicans for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It reminds me a little bit of the like 49ers and Rams thing. Where even in 2020, when the Rams were significantly better than the 49ers, and the 49ers went and beat them twice. There's just something there. But I don't think it's impossible. I don't look at the Pelicans and go, in the same way I look at Denver. Mm-hmm. I look at Denver and go, yeah, the Kings went 3-1 against them this year, but I just don't see it in the postseason. I just don't. Over 7 games, like, oof. But I don't see that with New Orleans. And to the point you made earlier, I don't see it with Phoenix. I don't see it with Minnesota. I don't see it with OKC. So if they get there, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
For sure. So we'll talk plenty about the Kings-Pelicans game tomorrow. Let's take a look at the other play-in game. So let's take a look at the East because injuries are continuing to kind of define the play-in. We'll talk about that next on ESPN 1320. Sacramento's sports leader. We're the Insiders hanging out with you till noon.
Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Someday we'll get it right, James. Someday we'll have a perfect week. Someday we'll have a week where I turn all the right buttons on and I make sure our voices are going to the right place and I make sure that the sound is going to the right place.
I always feel this way about Ramsey in the chat. In the chat too.
Like, why is that?
Ramsey last week had I think it was four straight, and then Katrina stole the belt on the final day of the week on Friday. She destroyed his perfect week. It was spectacular.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
If you want to participate in the Chatty House, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320 if you want to hop in there. And while we're doing housekeeping, let me do one more thing. I want to remind you that D'Lo and KC are going to be out at Sky River Casino for a live show on Friday. I'm telling you, the Kings are playing Friday, and at Sky River Casino at 32 Brew Street, there's I don't know how many TVs. I don't want to say a number because I don't want to. There are a lot of TVs.
Million TVs.
It is really hard to find a seat in that place where you don't have a great look at a TV.
Okay.
So head down there, catch the live show, and then stick around for the game.
Yeah.
That way you don't have to go all over the place. You can just sit there. You can enjoy D'Lo and KC. And then I promise 32 Brewer Street is going to have the game on. So you can hang out there. I'm going to be out there. D'Lo and KC, of course, doing their show will be out there. And if you've not made it out to a live show before, come on out. Come hang out. Come say what's up. That's what it's there for.
It's a lot of fun.
If you want to pull up, don't be like, oh, hey, I don't want to go say hi. Like, I'm kind of scared. No, dude. It's a family. We're vibing. Drinks are flowing. Food's going. Talking ton of Kings basketball. There's not going to be a better, but let me tell you this. There's not going to be a better place to get ready. Maybe you don't want to stick around to watch the game there, but there's not going to be a better place to get ready for the game than noon to four down at Sky River.
Mm.
So come on, come down and hang out with us. Are you going?
I don't think I'm
going. I don't want to put you on the spot. I know, because if you guys don't know, James lives in the cuts, even further from Elk Grove.
Yeah, it's not that. It's the fact that I've got to cover the game.
That's right. Duh, there's a game. Never mind.
I have to
scratch everything.
Like, do six quick thoughts. I've got to, live tweet and be a fool.
Sure. No, there's spaced on the fact that I was telling everybody
issue.
There's basketball and you have that.
Yeah.
Well, I will be out there. James has work. I don't.
I am not flying to New Orleans. It's just like too last minute. But I'm hoping that if there is more games, that maybe I will make my way to Oklahoma City at some point.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Giving away $500, the Nothing But Net $500 giveaway also coming up a little bit later on. We will also announce yesterday's winner. You're going to want to head to ESPN1320.com for that. We'll give you a keyword. We'll give you two opportunities to win today. We will give you a keyword, and then D'Lo and KC will also give you a keyword. You can enter two times. Give yourself two bites at the apple to win $500. We'll be doing that all week this week and all week next week. Okay. Play-in tournament. I need to postpone my computer restarting. Play-in tournament.
I had that same issue.
Philly beat the Heat last night. You know what? Let's talk Bulls-Hawks first. 131-116.
Okay.
The final score there. Kobe White, phenomenal. Career high, 42 points.
Mm. He beat his career high that he put up against the Kings?
Congrats.
Is that what you're saying?
The Hawks stink, dude. As fun as the play-in tournament is, and as much as I have enjoyed it, and as much as I like the fact that there's more basketball to talk about, you get the intrigue of, oh man, you want to be the 7 so you can face this team. Because it was funny, in the West, everybody wanted to be the 8 because you could avoid the Nuggets at the number 2. Whereas in the East, everybody was gunning for the number 7 because nobody wanted the 8 because the Celtics are number 1.
Mm, yes.
And so there's that intrigue, and there's a... But then you watch the Hawks last night, and it's like, dude, this team had no business playing an 83rd game. They are so bad.
They are not good. I'm just looking. I mean, they were down 40-22 after the first quarter. Then they rallied and put up a 45-point second quarter.
Because Alex Caruso got hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Alex Caruso, Andre Drummond just ran into him. Bulldozed him.
His own player.
His own guy.
Yeah.
Bulldozed him. And as you said, Andre Drummond, 7 foot. What do you think he's pushing? 350?
350.
He's a big boy. But
that's a gigantic man.
So Alex Caruso gets run over by him. He leaves the game, and immediately the Hawks go 14-0 run. I think 14-0 was as high as it got. But yeah, that's what allowed the Hawks to even get back into it. And then you see them go lose by 15, and it wasn't even that close. It was 20 plus late, and then the Bulls started running clock, and the Hawks hit a couple of baskets, and made it look a little bit more respectable. But as much as I like the play-in tournament, watching the Hawks last night. a buddy of mine who covers the NFL, he texted me and he goes, this is Adam Silver's like trick to get us to watch the Hawks on a Wednesday night. And kind of felt like it.
You know,
that game stunk, dude.
I think that the play-in tournament looks like, if you're in the West, it's incredible. The whole play-in tournament's incredible, mm-hmm. right? And the battle to get into the play-in, and it's not just a battle for, like, are you going to make it? Because that was over kind of early.
Yeah.
It was a battle for seeding yes. within the tournament, where yes. it's like, are you going to be the 5 seed, the 6 seed, the 7, the 8, the 9, or the 10?
And there were 5 seeds up for grabs going into the last month.
Oh, yeah. Going in the last 2 weeks, it was so yeah. incredibly compact. And you're like, okay, what's going to happen here? You get to the East, and it's like, oh, man. I mean, the Hawks didn't even, like, back into the playoffs. It wasn't even like the beep, beep, beep. It was, they're just so bad but they're not as bad as the other bad teams. And so somebody had to draw the short straw of badness.
The Hawks had 36 wins and were comfortably in the play-in.
That's just wild.
The Hawks went 36-46 and were 4 games up on the Nets.
That's why I think the play-in, the purpose of the play-in realistically was to stop tanking, right? Mm-hmm. To limit tanking. And so now what we've done is we've got to the point where we've limited tanking to like 3 or 4 teams.
Yes.
And that was the real message, and I think it's worked. It's yeah. just the Hawks are caught in that you know, the Hawks are typically, they're a number 7 pick in the draft.
Uh-huh.
They're a team that's not good enough to get a good pick, and they're not bad enough to have a bad pick. They're stuck in mediocrity forever.
They might be East Coast Sacramento or what Sacramento was the last 2 decades.
Oh, yeah. And what they've done with their front office is some
wild,
wild stuff.
Truly wild.
Truly wild. And Kyle and I both have like some insider like
dude
thoughts on this one. It's a strange one.
It's not, unfortunately, we can't talk, but
yeah.
Wild, dude.
Wild. Insane. Yeah.
No, but to your point, and that's a great one that you make, I was trying to go through the teams that actively tanked this year. Brooklyn did. Or no, I'm sorry. I don't think Brooklyn actively tanked. I just think Brooklyn wasn't very good.
No, Brooklyn got broken like
yes.
when Ben Simmons wasn't available.
Yes. That was it.
After they, for some reason, tried to count on him for a third straight year. Yeah, like
I think it's like kind of they have to. Like, they can't move him, so they're
financially,
just they're
yeah.
going to cross their fingers and yeah. pray. But yeah, Mikal Bridges just wasn't, I think, didn't make the leap that they thought he might as a 1A type of guy.
Yep.
Cam Johnson may have hit a ceiling as a player, and they just weren't as good as they thought they would be. You had the Raptors, by the end of the season, actively tanking.
Yes, but the Raptors made the big rip the Band-Aid off yes. move, two
yes.
moves,
yes.
In December and January yes. mm-hmm. to move OG and to move right. Pascal Siakam.
Right.
So you understand they're not a true tank as much as they are. Like, hey, we need to reset and get younger, and they went out and got some of those pieces.
Yes. So, right, they are rebuilding. They're not tanking. And we'll get to the difference here in a second.
Yeah.
Charlotte, again, just bad.
Well, that, and they lost Ball for, like, almost the entire season.
Right. So, again, the difference between a bad team and a tanking team, and we'll get to it. The Wizards, just bad. I think the Wizards expected to be better than they were.
Yeah.
But
I didn't. I was like, what do you think you're going to do
here? The Pistons too, dude.
Oh.
The Pistons gave Monty Williams all that money because they thought they had a roster that could realistically compete for the play-in.
That's wild.
And they wound up being the worst team in the league by a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Detroit, but to Detroit's credit, I don't know that did they move their veterans and commit to their young guys? Like, yeah, for
yeah.
sure. But it wasn't like they were tanking down the stretch, I didn't think. I just think they weren't very good.
No, I think you're probably right there. And like for me, also like the Charlotte thing, I'm so glad that Jordy Fernandez didn't have to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah, same.
Like, look, when your best player is a serial domestic violence abuser and no one in the league wants him on their team,
yes.
that's your best player.
Correct.
I don't know where you go from there.
And your second best player is LaMelo Ball, who for some reason can't stay on the court.
Well, I mean,
yeah, he might be their best player when he's
possible. That
LaMelo's good.
The big ball of brand wasn't a good idea. Just saying.
No, maybe.
Just saying.
Who to thunk? Then there's the Jazz.
Yeah.
Who finished 31-51. The Jazz tanked.
They shut everyone down. Everyone down
again,
the last month of the season.
For the second year. And remember, Sarah Todd, we had her on before the season opener.
Yep.
Deseret News. And she does a phenomenal job, by the way. But I believe Utah Sports Writer of the Year last year.
Oh, I think she was.
So, does a phenomenal. And we asked, like, hey, what's the expectation this year? And she said, well, this team, had they decided not to pull the plug on last season, could have pushed for the play-in. So this year would be a disappointment if they missed the playoffs. And they pulled the plug again. And they finished 31-51. So they pulled the plug to not even tank right.
It was the moment they realized that John Collins wasn't an answer to any question that was being asked.
A true stunner. Nobody could have seen it coming.
They're like, he doesn't answer any question. Like, whatever question we had, it's there. Yeah, we have to go break.
Yeah, we just blew through a break. It's fine. Off to a rocking hot start on a Thursday. We'll continue talking about this when we come back. And then, is it actually good news that the Kings got the Pelicans? We'll tell you why next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile, and on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Best day of the week. I'm Kyle. That's James. Those are our voices. Say hello, James.
Hello, friends.
That's James. And thanks, everybody, for tapping in. Whether on YouTube, Twitch, the free Odyssey app, maybe you're listening on 1320 AM. We appreciate all of you for hanging out with us. We're rocking with you until noon. D'Lo and KC will take over at noon and hang out with you until 4 o'clock. I want to remind everybody we will be giving away $500 as part of the Nothing But Net $500 giveaway. We'll be doing that in the next hour. So stick around for that keyword, which you'll enter at ESPN 1320.com.
Mm.
And I forgot the other thing I was going to do.
Well,
we're just moving on.
We had this interesting thing in the chat. Brian, man, your name is all over the board, but that DeMarcus Cousins had over the last 25 years, DeMarcus Cousins' 2016-17 season was eighth best single PER ever. His PER with the Kings.
Oh, it's trying my best, but changed.
Oh.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah, his PER was 25.8 that season. With the Kings, it was 26.5, which is really high. But
holy smokes.
But a couple of years earlier, he had actually a higher PER for total for the season, which was 26.1. So I'm not sure about the stats there. Like, as a King, yeah, the 26.5, but he got traded midseason to the Pelicans and had a 23.2.
Maybe he meant eighth best for the Kings?
No. I mean, PER is a funny stat because I'll be honest with you. After DeMarcus left, do you know who the PER leader on the Kings was every year?
Wait, after DeMarcus left?
Yep.
So that was 16-17. Oh, this is a fun question.
Yep.
16-17. Bogdan Bogdanovic.
Nope.
De'Aaron Fox?
Nope.
No?
Not Z-Bo.
Oh, was it... hang on. Don't tell me. Was it somebody like Tyler Honeycutt?
No, Tyler Honeycutt, R.I.P., the late, yeah, great Tyler, yes, Honeycutt was way out of the league by 2000. By that time, he was a 2011-12 draft.
Who? Okay, hang on. I'm thinking of somebody else. Go ahead. Who was it?
Yeah, you probably don't want to know. It's the Willie Cauley-Stein.
Oh, the of course it was. I should. That's bad. That's so bad by me. That's poor.
Well, okay. So let me make sure I'm correct with that. But I'm almost positive that Willie led them in PER like multiple years. Oh, yeah, 17.6. There he is. Number two on the team, Kosta Koufos at 17.6.
Georgios Papagiannis.
Yorgos.
Oh, my God.
Yorgos Papagiannis was, I feel bad for him coming over. He was just way too young and, like, way too filled with, like, young man angst.
Sure, no doubt.
Like, he was not a pleasant dude to be around, just in general.
Speaking of the 17-18 Kings... What's Jakar Sampson up to?
I don't know. I love Jakar.
They could use him right now.
He was such a nice guy and like...
A dog, bro.
Yeah.
I loved Jakar Sampson.
Yeah, him against LeBron James. It's like, hey, you're on a 10-day contract. How about you guard LeBron tonight?
You got this, bro.
All right. We're going to start you playing 28 minutes against LeBron. How about that?
We were talking about fun nicknames on Basketball Reference just while we're here. I'm on Jakar Sampson's Basketball Reference page.
Oh?
Do you know what his nickname is? On Basketball Reference?
No.
SpongeBob Sampson. Why not?
Why not?
Why wouldn't it be?
We had some good ones yesterday. This should be a really fun random game.
I agree.
Yeah. Like
we'll give a nickname and then you try and guess who that nickname applies to.
That fully seems like something we should do.
That is a Google sheet I will build and we will play that game this summer for sure. What? I thought you started talking. Sorry.
No, I was going to say Switchblade. Who is Switchblade?
Switchblade?
Switchblade is an NBA nickname.
Switchblade.
Former Sacramento Kings.
Is a nickname that belongs to...
Former Los Angeles Laker. Former Houston Rocket. Former Portland Trailblazer.
Trevor Ariza?
Trevor Ariza!
Come on!
Yeah!
I would have never gotten there.
I had another 15 teams. I could have said former New York Knicks,
dude.
Former Orlando Magic, former New Orleans Pelican, former Washington Wizard.
Stop. Okay, hang on. Let's play this game later. It feels like Malik Monk's about to not win Sixth Man of the Year, huh?
If he does, if he loses, it's just such an...
Securing to Bagley in the chatty house said Zach Lowe voted for Naz Reid over Malik Monk.
Garbage.
What are we...
You know what, Kyle? What is the parameter? Like, what is...
I don't know. I don't want to... Look, okay, I'm going to save my angst, okay?
for when it happens or
yes,
it doesn't?
Yes. I'm going to wait because I don't want to sit here and spend the next 10 minutes bitching about something that may or may not happen. So I'm going to wait. But a lot of what I've seen from either people with votes or people who don't have votes who just write about the awards and who they would vote for, it feels like Malik Monk has just kind of fallen by the wayside here.
I don't get it.
I don't like it one bit.
At all. Like, I don't understand elevating a guy. Because now we get into semantics. If being a great six-man means you can step in and start, then that's not being a six-man. I guess it's being a six-man in one sense that you're the next man up, but it's also not like the true understanding of what a six-man is.
Mm-hmm.
And even if Naz Reid, like, he steps in and he starts, and what do you average? 17 points a game as a starter. Mm-hmm. Malik Monk averaged 15.2 off the bench. Like, I don't get it. Like, statistically, they're not even close. Like, we're talking about a guy who averaged 15 versus a guy who averaged 13. Guy who averaged 5 assists versus a guy who's a big man who averaged around, what, 5 rebounds.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying Naz Reid is a bad player.
Naz Reid's a very good player.
And to be honest with you, the Kings should have done everything in their power to try to get him on their team this last offseason.
I'm not sure that there was a scenario where he was leaving Minnesota.
There wasn't a scenario. They hit him up before even free agency opened and they signed him to a contract.
Right. Yeah. I don't think there was, even if he had hit free agency.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was anything they were going to do.
Either way, like his stats are definitely padded by the fact that he started 14 games. And Monk just didn't get that opportunity. And I don't think it's not who's the best six man who can also put up big number, better numbers if he starts, because Malik Monk could do that too.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not what they do. That's not what the Kings do.
Maybe if this happens, we can find a voter who voted for Naz Reid and get him on and we can talk about the process.
And then punch him. There it is.
You can do that. I've got a fight with John Bull to get to.
That's right. That's right.
Two things on the play-in tournament.
Yep.
And then we can get to the Kings. The first thing because I in general like the play-in a lot, but then you see the Hawks play.
Yeah.
And it's like, maybe this is too many teams. Maybe this is, but
what is
the
one
problem
game?
Is, right. The problem is you go to the West and you have 10 teams that legitimately had a claim to the sixth seed.
Mm-hmm.
Or not 10. You had 5 teams or however many that could legitimately say, like, yeah, won enough games to be one of the top 6 teams.
Yeah.
In a given year. So that's where it's like, yeah, hey, this is where it's valuable. But then on the other side, the Hawks had no business playing in that game.
Mm.
I don't think there was a team they were going to play or a series they were going to play in, or there was just no path forward for them. Their defense was awful. Their offense was a Trae Young,
DeJounte Murray,
your turn, my turn. And I don't know what Trae Young was doing last night, by the way.
Yeah.
That was weird. I want to make a joke about how he had the over on his assists, but I don't want to do that because literally just a real thing that happened with Jontay Porter.
Yeah.
But it was such a weird game. It was almost like he didn't want to be the reason they lost, where he had like a really bad shooting game.
Yeah.
And so he just went, yeah, hey, DeJounte, you do it.
Okay, so here's how I look at this. I'm willing to give away one game of a bad team for the play-in because, like, look, I think that the benefits of this battle that we saw in the West so far outweigh the one game that we're going to complain that the Hawks had to play. We're going to forget about that tomorrow.
By
Friday, we'll forget all about the Hawks and that one play-in game and just go, okay, the rest of these guys deserve to be there. Mm-hmm. And this was probably the best way to figure out who that last... Mm-hmm. Because I think the ultimate goal here, it's not just to get teams to not tank and to push. It's also when you get to that 8-1 matchup and that 7-2 matchup,
mm-hmm.
those are the best possible matchups that you can have. And I think that that's what the idea is.
Yeah,
it's that if the
fair.
Kings beat the Pelicans, that is probably the best that the Kings and Thunder, if that's what happened, Kings and Thunder is the best possible 1-8 matchup you're going to get, because what you don't want is a bad first round.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want everyone engaged in the first round so they're really engaged in the second and the third round.
Yeah. That makes sense, I suppose. And then there's the other side of the coin for the Bulls, where you get a guy like Kobe White on a national stage where they are the only action on.
Mm-hmm.
They were the only game happening when the Bulls and Hawks were playing last night. And you have Kobe White, whose development this year has just been phenomenal. One of those stories of the season, and it's not going to get enough attention because the Bulls weren't very good, but Kobe White was incredible this year, all year. And on the biggest stage, again, like we talked about with Keegan Murray yesterday, on the biggest stage, Kobe White goes out 15 of 21. He scores a career-high 42 points, 9 boards, 6 assists. He goes 3 of 7 from 3. And just has this incredible game where now, hey, maybe Kobe White becomes more of a national story. Maybe he gets more recognition that he wouldn't have gotten without the play.
Well, I would agree, because I also think that the Kings just saw Keegan Murray get that, and they're seeing people talking about Keon Ellis
as well, yeah.
Good point. These are guys that people are like, wait a sec, we didn't know who these guys were. We didn't know they existed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think the guys calling the game knew that Keon Ellis existed up until like the third quarter, even though they called like a Kings game like 2 mm-hmm. weeks earlier where he started.
They probably knew Keon Ellis played for the Kings, but they, although Brian Anderson and Stan Van Gundy, I think, do a pretty good job of being prepared. But to that point, if we had asked them before the game, like, hey, who are the three most important players for the Kings? Keon Ellis isn't coming up.
Nope.
And I think everybody on this show, on D'Lo and Casey, everybody in the chatty house, everybody listening, I think everybody knew that Keon was going to play a huge role in that game.
Mm-hmm.
But nationally, yeah. But now, going into this Pelicans game, I promise, if you listen to a NBA podcast or you listen to a show that's not in Sacramento, you're going to hear people talking about Keon Ellis.
Oh, yeah.
And I already, on the Eastern side, I already said going in to the play-in, whoever loses the 7-8 is not going to want smoke with the Bulls. The Bulls are a team that I think is just a pain. They have enough guys who can put the ball in the basket. They got enough guys who try on defense that, man, you might win that fight, but you're going to take a couple of punches. And now you get a Miami team that is very likely not going to have Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, it looks like Jimmy Butler could be out a couple of weeks.
Might be out Friday.
Yeah.
Still awaiting official word. But he had, I think, an MCL injury is what they classified it as. They're still awaiting imaging and testing.
Weird, the MCL injuries out of nowhere, like the multiple MCL injuries. Did you see Kevin Durant talk about this a little bit?
No.
They asked him how he stayed healthy, and he said, I avoided the floppers. And they're like, he's like, last year it was like a dude rolling up. Mm-hmm. My own teammate rolled me up.
Yeah.
Flopping.
I think it was Grayson Allen.
Yeah, well, whoever it was, but he said they were flopping.
No, it was not Grayson Allen, because he didn't play for them last year.
And then the year before, he said, I got hurt with another guy flopping and falling into my knee and spraining my MCL. He's like, so yeah, I stayed healthy.
JaVale, I think, fell into him.
That's possible. I can't imagine JaVale falling. But that's kind of, like, I agree with him. Like, I don't think there's any question that...
Bruce Brown.
Oh, okay, that's who fell into mm-hmm. him? I don't think there's any question that, like, Luka Doncic was flopping when he landed on Malik Monk and hurt him. Mm-hmm. He didn't intend to hurt Malik, but he was flopping.
No, but he is a massive human throwing his body around,
flailing,
falling all over the place. Like, yeah, people are going to get hurt. That's why, that's when you talk about NBA players playing, like, pickup.
Yeah.
They'll go, there's a lot of runs at like UCLA and stuff during the summer where you'll see NBA guys out there. And Austin Rivers talks about it on his podcast.
Uh-huh.
Like you have to be careful because there are guys out there who don't know what they're doing.
Those are the Rico runs.
Yeah,
that's
they're
what
not
they call them.
Right.
Yeah.
They're not trying to go hurt somebody. They're not trying to be dirty players. But hey, they're going to dive for a loose ball because they're trying so hard and now they're banging into somebody's knee or rolling up on somebody. So that's a really interesting insight from Kevin Durant.
Sure. It's why I talked like somewhat tongue in cheek, but not really, about Moses Brown. Like, Sabonis wanted no smoke in there. Like, you don't want to go inside. Game 82, you don't want to go inside with, again, Moses Brown is a gigantic man who is a tall person who plays basketball, not a basketball player who happens to be tall.
Yes.
He keeps getting contracts because he's a gigantic human being, and he's got sharp elbows, and like he'll inadvertently, accidentally, like axe murder you in the key. You're like, oh, I'm sorry about that. There's blood everywhere. My bad. It's like, is it really, or is it the team to put you out there? Because it kind of feels like it's a team to put you out there.
No.
So
I'm telling you, Moses Brown is JaVale McGee in Andre Drummond's body.
Mm.
He is, dude.
Very uncoordinated.
Oh, extremely.
I'm sure he's a nice guy, but very uncoordinated.
Yeah. You don't watch him and go, man, what a player.
Man, he's so close to being, he's 2 years away from 2 years away.
Oh.
No, you right. Don't, he's not the Bruno Caboclo of this generation.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Don't. God, Brazilian Kevin Durant?
That's right. Brazilian Kevin Durant. Kings legend.
Yeah, of course. Caboclo. Yeah, I would never do Kings and Raptors, as far as I know. I'm sure there's other teams in there. He might still be in the league.
If you told me
Bruno Caboclo was on a roster right now, I wouldn't be shocked at all.
He was at the start, but it also tells you, because I think he was in Memphis as well at one point. Mm-hmm. If he couldn't make it onto the Memphis roster this year, he's probably no longer in NBA circles.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like when an NFL player who people have heard of gets cut by like a bad team.
Uh-huh.
And you see people like, oh, you got to go get that guy. Like, do you? do you have to go get him?
He just got cut.
He could really help that team, and they did not want him at all.
Yeah, that's always a problem.
Zach Ertz was the player who comes to mind for me.
Oh.
When the Cardinals cut him this year, there was this like, oh, he's got to go. Philly's going to get him and watch out. Oh, he signed with Detroit. And then he didn't even play in the NFC title game. Yeah, man. He's just not.
It's wild.
It's fine. It's not a knock on Zach Ertz, but it's like, let's not fall all over ourselves. The other thing about the play-in tournament that I have not liked this year is how it feels like now injuries have kind of defined it. Where you have the Zion injury. And forget what that means for Friday, because he's out Friday. Forget what that means for Friday. Just if they beat the Kings and go into the playoffs, they're going to go in without Zion Williamson.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the Miami Heat, who are going to go into their game on Friday very, very likely. Again, I don't want to say anything official, but all signs are pointing to Jimmy Butler being out on Friday. And then if they happen to get past the Bulls, they're going to go into their first round series against the Celtics with no Jimmy Butler, presumably.
Mm-hmm.
And that I don't know if that's coincidence. I don't know. And frankly, Alex Caruso for Chicago, I haven't seen an update on him yet either. I don't know if it's just a coincidence or if it's just, Zion's kind of been hurt throughout his career and this is the time he happened to get hurt. Or if it's a product of the NBA's fight against players resting, against load management.
Yep.
I'm not totally sure, but again, I'm not saying let's pull the plug on the play-in tournament for this. It just stinks that this year it feels like that's going to be the overarching theme as we move into the playoffs is, well, the Heat didn't have Jimmy Butler. Well, the Pelicans didn't have Zion Williamson. Oh, the Bulls, they didn't have Alex Caruso.
I think it's interesting, too. We've always been focused on the 65-game mark, right? And mm-hmm. there's also another, like, it's not just 65 games. In order to be eligible, you have to play, I think it's 20 minutes or more.
Yeah,
in 65 games.
Did you see Dante DiVincenzo is ineligible for most improved player because he missed it by 9 seconds?
Yeah, that's wild. He played in 81 games and he's not eligible because there were a few games early on where he didn't play 20 minutes.
Right.
And
you have
so
to
he's
average
ineligible.
20 minutes a night.
And then I also think Brandon Podziemski is not eligible for something.
Yes, except for can you still make all rookie?
No, he's his second year, isn't he? Or is he a rookie?
He's a rookie.
No, I don't think. No, you can't make all rookie. You're not eligible for any postseason award. Like Jimmy Butler isn't eligible for postseason awards. He only played 60 games.
Oh, I see. There was a number of games that he didn't play 20 minutes. I see. Okay.
Yeah.
I see. That's DiVincenzo. DiVincenzo's last 5 games of the year, 37, 38, 41, 44, 53. He played 53 minutes in a game.
Yeah, I think that they're going to have to make some sort of tweak when it comes to, like, maybe there's a minute cap that you have to play.
That's, yeah, like a total minute. I think, honestly, I know they can't do it this way, but it should be a spirit of the rule kind of thing.
Okay.
Because the goal is you don't want Kawhi Leonard, or pick a player, yep. But you don't want Kawhi Leonard, let's say, getting to 65 games, but in 15 of those games, he was out there for the opening tip and then came out of the game. Like, you want him playing functional minutes. But go look at, if you play 81 games, you're good. You're good.
Yeah.
Did Dante DiVincenzo play all those games and all those minutes in hopes of being the most improved player? Like, no. There were just games where he didn't play that many minutes that night. There has to be a spirit of the rule deal here. I know they can't really do that because then it becomes subjective.
It's interesting because, you know, I think it has worked to a certain degree.
Definitely. So,
Kawhi Leonard played more games this season than he had in 7 years.
Yeah. Same with Zion. Career high in games.
68 games.
Yeah.
Zion had never played more than 61 games in a season.
And part of that is health too. Those guys just not dealing with injuries. Like Kawhi Leonard had a torn ACL and Zion's dealt with a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
But I kind of promise that if these rules weren't in place, maybe Zion too, but Kawhi Leonard probably plays a few fewer games.
Oh, totally.
Kevin Durant probably plays a few fewer games.
Yeah.
Devin Booker, same thing.
Maybe not, because Durant played 37 minutes a night, like he's their everything, and mm-hmm. they're just like he's going out there and playing every single night.
Yeah.
Plus, he avoided getting rolled up on by...
Just avoided the floppers.
Avoid the floppers, baby.
That's how Dallas can slow them down if they play them.
Just flop and roll up everybody.
No, just have Luka guard him, because then Kevin Durant is going to avoid him.
It's just like, I can't. I can't. Like,
nope.
I can't. Get him away from flopper.
Me.
Guys can hurt me. I'm not going to do this.
Well, check it out. I'm done. We didn't talk about the Kings. That's fine. We'll talk about them next. I think it's good that they got the Pelicans. I'll tell you why next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.